righteousness has taken a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's been kind of a blustery day here today. Some summer storms and showers, nothing major, but no power outages, so we're doing good and able to be here live with you tonight, this Thursday, July 28th. And I want to thank you for joining us here. And we'll have the phone lines open tonight. It is a live program tonight. We do get to rebroadcast this later, so when it plays later, it won't be live. It won't be, but it is tonight. So going to start out with some current events, a couple things going on, and that tie in, I think, greater than we realize. But we're going to open up with a word of prayer first. We hope that you do that very thing, that you open your day and your trips and the decisions you have to make in your life, the things that you have to do, your work day, your school day when school starts back up, that you start it out with a word of prayer. And we're going to do that now. Join me, won't you? Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, that name above all names, and we come to rejoice in your word, to praise you for the salvation that you give us, for the saving that you have done for us, Lord, how you have saved us from our sins and from the hands of those that hate us. For, Lord, certainly there are many in the land that hate you and hate those of us that love you and love your will and your way. But we thank you for the victory that you give over us, the victory you give us over death and over the grave. And we thank you for being our refuge, our strength, our, for giving us the ability to continue on in these perilous and trying times. Strengthen the remnant, O Lord. Guide and bless them. I pray for your blessings tonight here, that for a good broadcast that would be encouraging to your people and that would be pleasing to you. And I pray all this to your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And whew, amen. Busy day. Did a little traveling today. Went down. We're getting ready. We trying to cut a little hay. We get to cut a little hay here at the Radio Ranch. And so it's about that time of the year. It looks like the neighbor, they've been working on theirs this year and or this week. And we're hoping to start. We're just working around the weather here. Have to work around that, among other things. Do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. And a couple of current events that got emailed into me this week that I thought I would share. This one, and we've seen this for the last, at least this year, as the drought has taken hold of well over half of the country. And you know, sometimes it's hard to think of the country, or at least maybe your neighborhood. If you live in St. Louis or that area, you got some pretty good rain the first of the week. As a matter of fact, not just a good rain, but floods. Flooding in St. Louis, we saw. Interstate 70 that runs through it was shut down for a while because it wasn't just a rain, it was a flood. And, of course, the monsoon season down in New Mexico and Arizona, and that doesn't always bring floods, but it is this year. Severe flash flooding and it occurring down there. Some of the videos were just amazing. And, you know, even in Colorado, where Jason is, in LaPorte and Wellington and outside of Fort Collins, serious rain, inches. I think they got an inch in 15 minutes just last night. Ping pong size hail. Saw pictures of half a dozen pieces, four or five pieces of ping pong size hail in a person's hand. Windows busted out, trees destroyed, vehicles. And so it's hard to think of parts of the country being in a flood when we see things like that. But these things that are going on are not alleviating the flood. These floods are not alleviating the drought. Let me get my terminology right. They aren't. They are not that soft, gentle, nourishing rains that come and that nourish and allow the plants and the crops to grow. Many times they are destructive in nature because that is just what's happening right now. Maybe you saw last week in Texas just a rush when the markets were open. And what happens is the cattle markets, ours out here do. I think that it's kind of this way across the country, that over the July 4th weekend, a lot of the cattle markets and auction yards take a long break. It's kind of almost like a spring break for school, but it's a July 4th break, usually for a couple of weeks. It's kind of like the intro to summer. It's ending up the sales going into the summer, and it's kind of a two-week break, and then you know, about the 10th or 12th of July, the auctions open back up, and you have cattle sales. Well, in Texas, it just they had a a 3-mile line of trailer for the drop off at the Emory, Texas sale barn. And that kind of the mainstream media didn't cover it too well. I certainly saw it in some of the livestock bulletins that come out every other day and that give postings. But it was called a mad dash to the sale barn. Let's see here. It says cattle industry leader Corbett Wall, host of the Feeder Flash at nationalbeefwire.com, gave an update on drought conditions across Texas. In his words, the effect of this drought combined with economic factors, high fuel and fertilizer prices, are unbelievable, with a 3-mile line of trailers for the drop-off line at Emory, Texas sale barn. The sale barn received such a surplus that they were still auctioning off cattle through the night through 5 a.m. the next morning. You know, folks, this is, we talk about the American beef industry was built on three things. It was built on cheap land and cheap fuel and cheap corn. To finish that cattle off. And that is what the American beef industry was foundation. Those are how things were when it was founded. And we have none of those today. And so we are seeing, as we've been trying to tell you here from this Radio Ranch pulpit, whether it's on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights or Saturday mornings or Sunday from the pulpit at church, of the change that is occurring in this land. It is happening not so slow anymore. And so because of the drought, you know, when you have farmers that and ranchers that have not been able to make any money raising and selling cattle because, like is mentioned in this article, the economic factors, record fuel prices, record fertilizer prices, if available at all, to fertilize the land for the cattle to graze. You can only go so far. Raising cattle is a business just like any other. And if you're not making, you know, if you're not paying your bills at it, you can only do it for so long. Even borrowing money from the bank, eventually the bank says no. And so, I think that this report out of Texas is just one of many that that is symbolic and showing what is happening across the country. I'm certainly seeing it out here. Many neighbors out here, we are not in as severe a drought as others. I'm looking out green fields. Our neighbor behind us cut. He's got hay bales in the field, he still has to pick up. It's not as severe as, say, the Lake Mead area, as Southern California, as Las Vegas, Nevada, as places like that. But there are ranches here that are closing down that have sold the cattle. And, you know, they're not sure what they're going to do. I've talked with several neighbors and people around, and it, you know, and even the hay crop, we haven't got into ours yet, but the people I've talked to, the hay crop this year, 30-50% less than last year and the year before. And you know, that ties right in with the 50% snowpack this past winter in the Front Range and the Colorado River Basin feeder mountains. 50% of the snowpack. And so the Colorado River Basin feeding the southwestern United States through the Colorado River, there ain't going to be as much this year. It's change. Things are changing. Things are not how they've always been. We're seeing that in the physical. We see it in the lack of morality, in the increased crime rates, as the Bible tells us, how the heart of many grow cold because of the increase in lawlessness. And we certainly see the lawlessness in the land. We see judges and the so-called ruling authorities not prosecuting lawlessness, just putting up with it and accepting it. And that is a direct result of the turning away from God and His way, and the ungodliness and the sin in the land. Not just committing it, but, as the Word says, heartily approving it. And the penalty is the same for both, for those that break the law and for those that heartily approve that breaking of the law, whether that is a judge or a sheriff or a preacher. Think about that, or a preacher. Because just as there is lawlessness in our society, out on the streets, I saw a headline today that Chicago, they've been interviewing gang members and young people being recruited by gangs, and the comment was, you will either be killed on the street or go to jail. And that's a matter of hopelessness in these big cities. And with the youth that are involved in this, in these big cities, no hope, none whatsoever. And that in itself is part of we see that as part of the mental and spiritual change that has come upon this nation, not just because of the O'Biden administration, although that they're sure trying to put the icing on the cake, that's for sure. But we've seen it coming, and we've seen it spiritually. We've seen it in the churches. We've seen it, the heart of man grow cold, the heart of many, anyway, because of that lawlessness. And our enemy understands it. It's like is mentioned in the parable of the tares and the wheat. When the tares were discovered, the master says, an enemy has done this. And that's what it is. An enemy has done this, has led our people astray. We don't need much help, but they've sure given more than was needed to lead us astray. And that's, you know, we see the results of that in our society, in our business, in how we are viewed as Americans, and how most people react and are as Americans. Maybe not most. I would say half. And we are seeing it in the food, every part of the food industry, okay, from this massive sell-off as a result and a need. Not that any of these ranchers, I guarantee you, they're not wanting to sell their cattle. None of the ranchers and farmers that I've talked to are wanting to take their land out of production, be it soybeans or wheat or corn or raising cattle or hay or whatever it is. None of them want to, but you can only lose money for so long. Reminds me of the story of the man that won the lottery, won $1 million, and they ask him, what are you going to do with your earnings, sir? And he said, well, I'm going to run cattle till the money runs out. And that's about it. That's about how it's been. If you remember the farm issues back in the 80s, the farm aid and the destruction, the planned destruction, and it worked, of about 60% of American farms back in the 80s. See, not too many people remember that. Oh, PBS doesn't do stories on that all the time, nor does National Geographic. But that is what happened. And we're seeing it in the beef industry. when that happened in the 80s, that was part of paving the way for the globalism and the global economy. Well, we'll just buy fruits and vegetables from Mexico. We'll just do that. And Brazil and South America and China and all these other places. And what about the American farmer, the American family farm? Well, they'll have to find something else to do. Maybe they can work at Walmart. And that's been the reality. So the beef industry, beef has never been more expensive in the store, and it's some of the lowest prices for the producer. And as a result, we are seeing miles of ranchers hauling their cattle to market, getting out. Saw this also regarding China. It says, the land that used to belong to Americans has been milked and bilked by investors and paid government agents of the People's Republic of China. The National Association of Realtors reported last week that wealthy Chinese spent $6.1 billion on U.S. real estate last year. They've captured more than 10% of the market and have the highest average purchase price of all foreign real estate investors at over $1 million per home. 10% of the U.S. real estate market last year went to the Chinese. 10% of the, according to the National Association of Realtors, 10% of the American real estate market went to the Chinese. California, of course, their top pick, with more than a third of all homes located in California. And in addition to that, China-tied entities own nearly 192,000 acres of American farmland and forest land, the bulk of it controlled by Xinhai International after it acquired U.S. pork producer Smithfield Foods in 2013. That's only 9 years ago. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis made headlines last week blasting the takeover as a huge problem. And this Chinese communist colonization, you might call it, of America has been taking place for decades. We've seen it. We've mentioned it to you before. If you've listened, friends in Canada have shared with us how this has been going on in Canada for years. How can the Chinese do that? Well, you know, when they have slave labor, and we have become a consumer society, and they make what we consume, those big ships bring containers full of stuff here, and the only thing they take back might be money, for the most part. And that's how it's been for generations, for decades, and the Chinese are doing that. Chinese companies are just buying up, according to the National Association of Realtors, 10% of the real estate market last year. Changes, folks. Changes. 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 You know, a lot of it has to do with food. I've got pages here, scriptures I want to get to. I hope that I can in 1 Thessalonians. But I got another email I thought was quite interesting. And I had shared, it's been a while back, a book that I have that I'm rereading it. Actually, I just finished rereading it, but it's called, I think it's called The Greatest Hard Time. And it's stories, it's a historical book about the Great Dust Bowl and the dust storms and of the 1930s. And great book. Had a brother text me and said, hey, I picked that book up and he's reading it. So I would recommend it to you. Another one that is about, it's just as historically accurate. It was written by a survivor. one of the few survivors. And it's about 50 times worse than that, 500 times worse than that great Dust Bowl book. Anyway, I'll get to that. I'll mention it. But I got an email here, and it says, it was from Brother Ray. And he said, have you ever heard of Holodomor, H-O-L-O, Holodomor, D-O-M-O-R? And that basically, it literally means death inflicted by starvation. And so this professor from the University of Naples talks about this genocide back in the 1929 and the early 1930s, 1920s, 1930s, the genocide of the Ukrainian peasant, okay? The cause of this, I got this quote here, by the end of the 1920s, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin consolidated his control over the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, feeling threatened by Ukraine's strengthening cultural autonomy. Stalin took measures to destroy the Ukrainian peasantry and the Ukrainian intellectual and cultural elites to prevent them from seeking independence for the Ukraine. And so I'd be glad to forward this email to you. It's a great article. Let me see here. It is a great historical, and it has at the end resources for teachers. It's got several things there. And so it's got the resources there as well. So it's not just what somebody thinks. And anyway, it kind of caught my attention when I got it. I just got it the 25th. And because of this book that was, I think, just as interesting, but much worse than the worst hard time that we had in the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. And it's called Execution by Hunger, The Hidden Holocaust. 7 million people in the breadbasket of Europe, that in the Ukraine is what that is, were deliberately starved to death at Stalin's command. This story has been suppressed for half a century. Now a survivor speaks. It's by Myron Dolot, M-I-R-O-N-D-O-L-O-T. I do not carry this book on the ministry. It's from Norton Press, I think. Let me take a look here. And so, Execution by Hunger, The Hidden Holocaust. And I would, W.W. Norton Company, New York. Excellent book, 230 pages. But I remember reading this when Pastor was still alive. It is Pastor Peter's book. It's from his private library. And when you read through it, it gives insight as to, I don't know that that's exactly what's being planned today. But, you know, once again, here less than 100 years later, the Ukraine, again, it has been called I see we got a caller, just a second, caller. It has been called the breadbasket of Europe by more than me. And we see, once again, attacks on it. We hear of their food products being unable to be distributed into Europe and into the European Union and to many places down in the third world poor countries of Africa. We'll wait and see. We'll see what comes of it. If you want to know some history, Execution by Hunger, The Hidden Holocaust, let you know just some of the atrocities of communism. Well, I see the phone line. Let's go to the phone line. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hey, brother. This is Patrick from Minnesota.
Yeah, good evening, Patrick. How are you?
I haven't called in for a while, but, you know, I was just listening here. You went through quite a bit of different topics, you know. I lost my place.
Well, you know, Patrick, I think they're all tied together. I think this, this, you know, ranchers having to get out of the beef industry. It, you know, in Texas, and I'm seeing it here, and then you tie that in with the, you know, with the Chinese capturing more than 10% of the U.S. real estate market last year, and food products as well. You know. Owning Smithfield Foods and others, and not just the Chinese. I think I mentioned, I don't know if it was last week, but the Petroleum Mexico, Pemex, you know, buying out Shell last year in the Deer Park, Texas refinery with the idea of more refining for Mexico and less product for the United States. And that's just what they have stated on the on their website. And so we see these, you know, invasion coming in, you know, our food drying up and these other nations coming in, buying, invading. It's not like it was 30 years ago. That's for sure.
Well, it's not like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it all comes down to, you know, the biblical history repeating itself. You know, we as a nation, you know, as a society, as you know, we've turned our back on God. You know, we kicked God out of the public square. You know.
Yes.
You know, 50 plus years ago. And then, you know, what do you expect is going to happen? You know, you mentioned about these China buying up these farms. Well, you know, so they're buying these farms, but where's the money going? From the sale of these farms, that money is probably not going into the farmers or the ranchers' pockets. It's probably going right to the bank to pay off the note.
Oh, absolutely.
So they're not even seeing any of it.
Absolutely. Because the farmers and ranchers have hung on for so long that they are, you know, I get Successful Farming Magazine. I don't know why. But most of the time I get this. And, you know, so much of it they're talking about is working debt and financing and, you know, passing this stuff on. And it's because that's how it is. It's all you borrow money. I had a neighbor. He's moved away now, but ranched all his life. And, you know, when I would talk to him, it was just they were up at the bank every 6 weeks, you know, having to renegotiate this note and get some different terms on this note and that note. And that's how it is. The banks have the American rancher and the American farmer, however you call it, financed to the hilt.
And they have them over the barrel.
They have them over a barrel. And then, and so then, you know, they're all under contract. They've got to get a certain amount for their crop, you know, whether it's a crop of corn or soybeans or new calves, just to stay up to date with the bank. And in the last few years, that hasn't happened. So you're right. The Chinese are coming in and buying this off. Petroleum Mexico buys out Shell. You know, that money doesn't, you know, it doesn't go to the people. It just goes to the bank. It does. And even these $1 million houses that are being sold, you can be guaranteed those houses aren't paid for. You know, when they come in Mr. Joe wants to move from California and he's probably moving out here to Wyoming. You know, when he sells that $1 million house to a Chinaman, he's got that thing hocked out to $1 million. One, to be able to live in California, but to pay for his cars, pay for his boat if he's got one, If it's anywhere else, it's four-wheelers and everything else. And so he's not getting any of that. He might get out of debt some. But, yeah, that money's just going to the banks that are not American-owned either. You know, the fantasy of how America, how so many of Americans think America is just that. It's a fallacy. It's a fantasy. It does not exist. It's just not that. It's not the way, you know, I think about how Pastor Peters used to talk about how America was in the 50s, you know, with no crime you know, walk the streets in the evening and say hi to your neighbors on the porch and things like that. And it is night and day different. It is not that America, as Carl Kling sings. It ain't America anymore. It's just not.
Exactly. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful evening here. It's in the low 70s. I'm looking down the street, and there's a family of five out there playing croquet on their front lawn.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, we just live in this awesome little neighborhood here. You know, kids play out in the street, and you know, really been blessed by God that we found this house in this neighborhood. You mentioned earlier about the 80s, you know, with the farmers going out of business. You know, I lived out in the Dakotas, and I think from 1978 to 1983, I think we half the population, I think, moved away.
You know, yes.
The farmers, big farmers too. You know, not you hear out in Minnesota. You know, a lot of, depends where you're at in Minnesota. You know, a good sized farm is, you know, maybe 400 or 500 acres. You know, out in the Dakotas where we lived, you know, there were thousands of acres. You know, I went and did custom combining one summer, and we were harvesting wheat for a guy that, you know, he farmed 18,000 acres.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of his farms where I grew up, you know, there were 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 acres of land. The bank came and took all their machinery. First they took their machinery, then after they couldn't farm, you know, they came and took the farm too, you know.
Yeah.
They were so heavily in debt,
And that hasn't changed. It just, you know, at that time, it just shut down so many. And who bought them? Who bought them? Well, I can tell you the Antichrist came in and bought them for pennies on the dollar. Or they let the bank have them, and then the bank would sit on them for years. And then guess what? Your Hollywood elites, the names escape me, but you know, these antichrists have come in and bought them up. I saw today a 1,000-acre ranch. Oh, it's 100 miles from us, kind of over toward the mountains, but beautiful place. 1,000-acre ranch, Wyoming. Oh, it's on the market now, $4.5 million. And so, you know, some Chinaman or somebody or some Californian being bought out from a Chinaman will come and buy that, but that $4.5 million, that won't go to the rancher. That won't go to the guy that, you know, because the land values have artificially exploded because he's borrowed against that to the hilt to build that up and maintain it. And so there again, yeah, like you said, it won't go to an individual. It just moves from one bank to the next. I was talking with the lady at the feed store today, and you know, it's you because of this, it's all but impossible for our children to come up in this and get an honest job, even making good money, and compete in that and go buy a small ranch and try to do that. It's impossible anymore.
Sure.
And that's by design as well. That is by design. But this book... Well, go ahead, Patrick.
Well, I you mentioned before about the farmers market. You know, I know around here, you can buy, you can buy 5-10 acres of land, and you can grow cucumbers, to sell at the farmers market in a variety of crops,
Sure.
Cucumbers and corn and this and that, and that's really exploded out here. A lot of people are doing that. You'll drive down out in the country and you'll see just a small little patch there where there's people out there they're selling at the farmers market, and a lot of it's non-GMO and stuff
sure.
like that, and that's might be the way we're headed.
Sure, seeing a lot more of that, Patrick. We sure are all over the country. We talked to Brother Paul up in Michigan, and I know that that goes on down in at least in rural areas in Florida and all over. And so, we are seeing that, and that's a good thing. More and more people are seeing that. Our farmers market's tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it out here. And I can remember years ago an Iowa farmer telling me that they did a five acres of sweet corn just in the, the kitchen garden that they had in the backyard.
Sure.
Stagger planted 5 acres of sweet corn, sold it. As it came, as it ripened, on the side of the road, at a stand and at farmers markets and stuff like that, and made more money than 600 acres of corn that went through the co-op, to the silo and the contract and all that.
Sure.
5 acres versus 600.
It's
work, but it can be done.
Yep.
And some are doing it.
I just bought some corn the other day. Somebody at work knew somebody had grew some corn down by the river, the Mississippi River. Man, it was a good corn.
Oh, I bet.
It was awesome.
I bet. Well, we've been, that's kind of been the new books that we've been promoting. It's the ones people are asking for. In the latest Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 6, the inside front cover, it's a new gardening book on vertical gardening, vertical container gardening. Because, Patrick, not everybody can do that. Not everybody can go buy 10 acres or have access to 5 or 10 acres to do that. And so we've sure encouraged them to, support those that can. Every a dollar that you spend at a farmer's market is going to go further than $5 or $10 that you spend at the grocery store, because that money that goes at the farmer's market, even if it's not just old Farmer Joe, like ours, we have there's a couple of Colorado places that come up that they farm several hundred acres. And they're co-ops and whatnot. But that dollar stays at least in that community. It goes to that community. It's not going to a middleman and all that stuff. We've sure encouraged that. But, some people, in like this latest gardening book, you can grow vertically. It's a great book on letting you know how to grow in containers, how to make the most of your space. It talks about a planting calendar and even compost and a wormery guide. That's a big thing now is worms, both in compost and gardening and We've got a family in town that does that, and so it's a growing part of this kind of I don't know if I call it underground economy, but it is.
Yeah, and so you know, on that note too, you know, I went to the local home improvement center here, you know, because you know, you just as far as planting a garden, you know, it just you don't have to just start in the spring. You can plant all summer long.
Yes.
You know, I just planted some radishes here, but. I went to the store. I was looking for this or that, and it's like, man, they're really sold out a lot of things. And you know, I have a you know, small little sweet corn crop. You know, I'm using seed that's 2 years old, and it germinated, and it looks pretty good. And so it wouldn't be a bad idea that if you're out and about this year, you know, and if you see some of those seeds that are still for sale, you know, pick them up, you know, because who knows, a year from now you may not be able to get any of those seeds.
That's right.
So, you know,
absolutely
stock up on there.
And you know, many people have done these survival packets and survival seeds and all that, but you know, if that was done 10 or 20 years ago, you might revisit those things. You sure might. We've tried to encourage the remnant to do that, to be prepared. We know that many have gardened, and like I said, you don't need that 10 acres to do that. You can grow some potatoes in a 5 gallon bucket. If you started growing potatoes in a 5 gallon bucket, one for each family member. You'd be well set, you know.
Sure.
You would.
Yeah.
And if you want to store some over the winter, 2 5-gallon buckets per family member, and you'd be surprised at what that'll do. I did that. I had never grown potatoes, and there's several different ways. I did them in 5-gallon buckets, and I was pleasantly surprised at the number of potatoes. And that's here in. You know, in Laramie, Wyoming, an elevation of 7,200 feet, a very short growing season. And and so, in a more temperate climate, it's just going to expand and be that much better. And so, yeah, it doesn't take a huge amount of land. It doesn't take being a professional farmer. It doesn't to grow. So, well, yeah. Patrick, good talking to you.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks for calling, and tell the family we said hi, and hoping for the best for all of them.
All right, brother. Well, I'll catch you next time.
All right, Patrick.
You have a great evening, and God bless.
All right, you as well. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Amen. Good to hear from our brother out in Minnesota. And so remnant, yeah, things are changing. Things are changing. In 1 Thessalonians, I know we're running out of time. Let me read these couple here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 7 through 8 through 11, starting in verse 8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. And so, remnant, I want to encourage you with that. Yes, things are changing. Times are changing. The food... The food situation in this nation is changing, but you know, we are of the day. It says, let us be sober. That means we are aware of what is going on, okay? We are aware of what is going on, and we are to you know, it talks about this full armor of God. It expands on it a little bit. That's how we are to be. And as verse 11 says, we are to encourage one another and build up one another, just as we are doing. We are to continue and to do it more. And so I guess, Remnant, is what I'll leave you with, that I hope that we can be doing that, that we are to encourage one another and to pray for one another, fulfilling, as the Word says, fulfilling the law of Christ. Well, again, Remnant, thanks for tuning in, and I encourage you to come back Saturday morning. Join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers at 7 a.m. Let's see, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central. Get all this right. Can't do two things at once. And 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. I know we've got some West Coasters that join us, so I don't want to count you out. But we'll be here for fellowship, for praise to the King of Kings. We'll have our good hot coffee and our Bibles with us, and the phone lines open. And we'd sure like you to join us and to partake of that fellowship and praise. And so we hope you'll do that. That's Saturday morning, and then we'll sure invite you to church then as well. So hopefully we'll see you then, and we'll go out with this song.
People are asking questions about what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness is drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, pray in the name of Jesus. Now listen. It ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Pray to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. The gates of hell cannot stand.